from Nasugbu, Philippines. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, cycling has never been cheaper than it is now. A completely stupid comment at first glance, but on reflection, is it actually as dumb as it sounds? We dive in to see.
We've also got a new training technique that will get you into hot water, tech to solve the age-old problem of putting your shoes on, and how I fared in a time trial against Remco Evenepoel. He's laughed that much, right? We'll also react to the motor doping video at the weekend. What do we know now that the dust has settled? This week, in the world of cycling, we learnt that whilst Isaac Del Toro just underlined his supreme cycling talent by winning his first ever World Tour stage race, his grip strength needs some work.
3, 2, 1, go! Oh, you almost used two hands then. That's good.
It's good.
What have you got?
50.7.
That's not bottom. That's good. For a climber, I'd say that's great. Would you like one more go or not? Yeah. Okay, 50.7. Go!
Oh, no, it's lower.
Oh, so I'm tired.
We'll go for 50.7.
I go home now. Okay. I don't start now.
Right, thank you very much.
Did you beat him, mate?
I did indeed, mate, yes.
That is quite embarrassing for him, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, which rider was the strongest?
Ah, well, you'll have to wait for the actual video to come out, Si, before we reveal that, I'm afraid.
You tease, Dan, you tease. Now, we also learned last week that motor doping might have been possible after we did it, and it just so happened to be in the same week that Dan stepped back onto a podium. Mm. Coincidence?
Yes, because I did not need a motor that generated 12 watts, Si, because I borrowed Ollie's frame set and Alex's wheels, which in total would have saved me well over what that motor gave us.
Yeah, all right. Well, hopefully not that much, because I've actually got to race Alex plus his wheels next weekend.
Oh, yes. Just get one of these, Si. That'll make you go fast. This is the Orbea Orca Aero, ridden at the UAE Tour by Roel van Zijl-Martensdijk. Not easy to say, but I've just about memorised that, Si. Which has got a 17-centimetre stem on it, no less.
I mean, that is not a stem. That's a rudder. Isn't it?
Well, that's probably
I wouldn't
a
even
good
be able to reach the brakes on that thing.
I mean, I don't think we've ever seen anything beyond 16 centimetres before, have we, Si? No. That will make you go faster, though, for a bit, I'd imagine.
What, not reaching the brakes?
Yeah.
Yeah, OK. Now, we also learnt last week that fellow GCN presenter Ollie Bridgewood is too tight to pay for parking.
I love this. He sent this to me deliberately, knowing that he's a man after my own heart, Si. So basically, he and his girlfriend got to their holiday accommodation last week in a ski resort to find that the parking area was unfortunately full with snow. In his own words to me, Si, no effing way was I paying 150 quid for a week's parking, so instead, the two of them spent 2 hours digging out the snow before grabbing a well-earned beer.
Well, I was going to say that's 75 quid an hour, so not bad, but if two of them are doing it, that's only £37.50,
yeah, it is,
which
yeah.
makes it slightly less
not
better
bad.
Value. But anyway, we all know that you, as much as you would hate spending 150 quid, you would also hate to miss 2 more hours in the pub.
Well, there is
even,
that.
Even yeah. more.
This yeah. is true, Si. Seeing as we're on the topic of spending versus saving money, though, of value, shall we say, we've been wanting to revisit something raised in the comments section of the GCN show that we did recently about those €1,000 Rudy Project shades.
Yes, which are definitely not value,
no.
are they? Now, lots of you reacted, as we did, by saying that the cycling industry has gone nuts. And in fact, that it went nuts a long time ago.
Not everybody thought the same, though, Si.
Nope.
And in particular, one person, at CX Cyclist, who was commenting prolifically. Here is one example. Price of cycling kit isn't outrageous. Gear, kit and bikes have never been as cheap as they are now.
This is bonkers, isn't it? Or at least that's what we thought initially. It's completely mad. Literally the opposite of what is quite clearly happening, because bikes and gear have never been more expensive. As a case in point, Canyon broke the internet last year, didn't they, when they released a bike that represented incredible value, sneaking in, as it does, at just under €1,000.
But it is still €999, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. But then another comment from CX Cyclist.
Prolific.
Yeah, well, they were alone in this as well, weren't they? But anyway, making a good case. It actually made us stop and think, didn't it? So they said gear, kit and bikes have never been as cheap as they are now. They obviously had a bit of a theme. But the price of showing off in cycling has become outrageous.
Interesting. Is that what is actually happening? Have we simply got unrealistic expectations of what is normal?
Yeah. And are we all just showing off? It's a question that, well, technically we can't actually answer, can we? Because you could only give an opinion on that one. But what we can do is try to see if we could, in theory, buy bikes and kit for loads less money and therefore get better bikes than we would have done, what, 10, 20 years ago?
Yeah. Now, before we start, a few of you will no doubt be saying, there's no barrier to cycling, just jump on any bike and ride. That is the beauty of our sport. And yes, we totally agree with you if that's your opinion. But we are specifically talking about the sportier side of cycling, which is the part that many people feel is becoming increasingly out of reach to the masses.
Yeah, so having bikes and kit that's comfortable for riding as long as you want, fast enough that it's not going to hold you back if you want to do a race or a fast group ride, and cool enough that you feel good when you step out your front door.
Which is not important to some, but is to others. So we're going to include it.
We are indeed, yes. And now, firstly, bikes, okay? Yeah, top-end bikes are breaking new barriers for price tags all the time. So a friend of mine who works in a local bike shop said that he built a bike for a customer recently and it cost
£23,000.
No. £23,000? £23,000,
that's ridiculous.
So you could then be quite right to ask how on earth you would get something fast, comfortable and cool for not much money.
Second-hand, Si. The recent rapid development of tech, be that aero, disc brakes, electronic gears, etc., whatever, has meant there are loads of not particularly old bikes out there for not much money, which are less desirable, but actually still really bloody good.
Yeah, they are. So disc brakes are great, but they will not revolutionise cycling for you, will they? Same with electronic group sets. And by my reckoning, Dan, anything with Shimano 105 on that's more recent than about 8 years old onwards, I think that's when it had a big performance update, it's already got, you know, 90% of whatever the brand new bikes have got.
Yeah, exactly. We've actually been having a little look at Facebook Miles. Well, I had a little look. Si's been lapping it up for hours.
Oh, I'm dangerously addicted to Facebook Marketplace.
It's been not just during work time, you've been doing it at weekends and in evenings as well, haven't you, Si? I've got that addicted. You were sending me stuff the other day of old mountain bikes, but anyway.
I know, but window shopping on Facebook Marketplace is becoming a dangerous obsession.
Here are four that we found very quickly whilst preparing for the show today. Yep. First one, Cannondale Super 6 105 Carbon 2015. Is that too old for the 105?
Si? Well, yeah, so what's that?
£550, by the way.
Yeah, but it's been listed for a week, so you might be able to strike a bargain.
It's close to you in Bristol.
Yeah, lightweight frame, like pretty nice, looks cool, easily upgradable.
Might be a bit small for you.
A little bit small for me, but it'll fit some people.
Looks good condition though, doesn't it?
Does look good. Yeah, go on, what's next, Dan?
£550 for that. Next one is this Argon 18 Gallium Pro Carbon. Now this has got a Di2 Ultegra group set on it, Si. No disc brakes again, but that's a very clean example of a bike.
Very clean example.
Yeah, £600.
3 weeks ago, though, I would strike a hard bargain on that one as well. Mm. Again, a bit small for me, but it's going to fit someone.
The Vision wheels have never been used on that bike, Si.
I know, crazy.
Unbelievable scene.
This next one, I think you're going to like, Dan.
Well, I do like it, Si, because I've already seen it. This is a Cervelo S2. I think it is. I can't seem to... I'm going to refresh the page because I can't see what the price is currently. Give me 2 seconds. There we go. Cervelo S2, 58 centimetre, my size. Dura-Ace, rotor cranks, zip wheels, £899. And again, that looks in fantastic condition.
Basically like what you raced the Tour de France on, isn't it? But with Dura-Ace instead of SRAM.
Exactly, yeah. It's got Dura-Ace front derailleur, Ultegra rear, and then a bit of 105 as well. A bit of a mix. Mismatch of Shimano.
Nice looking bike though, but this last one, Dan, this last one takes the biscuit for me.
Ready? Here we go. This is a Specialized Tarmac SL4 Ultegra for £300. I presume it comes with a rear wheel.
Presumably. Mm. And it's my size, that one, Dan.
Is it?
Size 56. Yeah. I was like, okay, so all of those bikes with a few choice upgrades would be fantastic, I think. And you would look cool as a cucumber if you rocked up on any of them. You'd look like you know what you're doing, for a start. Mm. And because they're a bit older, yeah, they might be have slightly older tech on there, but they're also simpler and easier to work on at home, so you can save money that way, but they aren't so old that you still can't buy spare parts. Mm. So those bikes, some fresh, fast tan wool tyres, modern tyres, some new bar tape, you're good to go. Mm. So maybe CX Cyclist kind of does have a point.
Coming round to CX Cyclist, aren't we?
300 quid. You imagine buying a bike as good as that 10 years ago for 300 quid? Not a chance.
I don't need it. I've got a Cervelo S2. Thank you very much. Well, that's the bike anyway. What about the kit? That's expensive as well these days.
It is. Can I just say that I wouldn't ever buy secondhand shorts?
Okay. I've sold quite a few.
They go for many a premium, your secondhand shorts, don't they? I know people do. And if you are cool with that, that is absolutely fine. But I had a little look on Vinted.
Oh, yeah.
Pan-Norm Mail shorts going for £125.
Whoa. That's ridiculous. I mean, to be clear, Si, this is presumably somebody that's worn those shorts. And you'd imagine they're in all sort of sweaty conditions, hot conditions, without any undercrackers on.
Exactly that. Yeah. The rubbing and the sweating.
And the chafing.
Oh, not for me. Not for me. But when you look, there are loads of budget kit manufacturers out there, right? So I haven't tried them, but these are ones that I found and Google Gemini suggested they were quite good. Neo Pro Cycling, The Black Bibs, and, of course, Decathlon, to name but three.
Do you know what? Personally, I've never found a correlation between the price of cycling kit and the comfort of cycling kit.
Yeah.
A fit, I would say, yes.
Yeah.
But that's quite an easy fix, really, isn't it? Any local tailor will happily tweak the fit of your cycling kit, but not very much money at all, so that you get the kind of pro look.
Yeah. A little bit like at the Tour de France, when the leaders of the classifications, they get tailored the night before a TT, because they're not even going to fit Tadej Pogacar well enough.
Mm.
So, yeah. Now, question, is it then that brands like Panormal and MAP are actually, or should be regarded, like Prada and Gucci? So they're kind of luxury brands rather than actual equipment.
It's an interesting question, isn't it? I guess that alludes to kind of what CX Cyclist says, where brands sometimes at this point can be for showing off in. Is that kind of what you're getting towards?
Well,
flashy?
More just like that kind of level of aspiration versus normality. Like, I would never, ever consider buying Prada because it's a luxury brand.
No.
But do you know what I mean? Whereas it's like, oh, yeah, well, of course, if you're going to go cycling, you need really expensive bib shorts.
I do have Gucci sunglasses that I've worn on many a GCN video.
Aren't they fakes?
No, they're secondhand. I bought them from a vintage shop in Messina, which is where Vincenzo Nibali is from.
Well,
€50.
The one thing you can guarantee about secondhand sunglasses is that no one's going to have sat in them naked, because otherwise they'd be broken.
Anyway, we digress.
Yeah, we are slightly, aren't we? The other thing that I would recommend and look out for is outlet stores. So I can only talk about UK-based companies here, but I assume every country has something similar. But here, Sports Pursuit.
Oh, I've used them.
Yeah.
They feature on hot UK deals quite regularly, Sport Pursuit.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't feature in Google, so that's why a lot of people don't know about it, right? But it's a great place to pick up big-name brands. I sound like a blooming advert here. It's a great place to pick up big-name brands with massive discounts. And it's not just clothing, but shoes and helmets too. But do you know the one thing I wouldn't skimp on, Dan? The one thing that would, like, completes the look?
Shorts, presumably, by the sounds of it.
Well, no, I mean, I would skimp on shorts. They just need to be new. But it's socks, okay?
Oh, how come?
Well, really nice socks don't cost that much more than cheap, crappy socks, right? But they make all the difference.
Well, with your ankles, Si, easy joke to make this one, isn't it? With your ankles, it's not hard to see why they make such a big difference, is it? There's a lot of sock going on there. And they're the same price, whatever size you get, aren't
they? Exactly, I get better value for money. Same investment, but a much bigger statement,
Okay, moving quickly on again then. We haven't yet talked about Chinese brands and their current and future effect, have we?
No, we haven't. And it's kind of another topic entirely, isn't it, really? I mean, I know it's all linked in, but Ollie did a great video over on GCN Tech about precisely this. We'll link to that one if you want to know more. In short, there was always that slightly higher risk by taking a punt on an unnamed brand making carbon fibre goodies, but I think that's just getting less and less, isn't it?
Yeah. So there are a few ideas anyway for how we think you can get cycling on a bike for less. Do we think that it is a case of just showing off with the higher-end brand-new equipment and clothing?
I've been giving this a lot of thought, like, genuinely.
Surprised you've got time outside of Facebook Marketplace.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, the bikes that I look at on Facebook Marketplace are basically just showing off. but for 500 quid, you know. But no, I actually don't think it is about showing off, right? Because the reality is some people can afford to spend lots of money on bikes and kit, and they do it not because they're showing off, but because it's nice, right? And that's absolutely fine. I think the issue is that less emphasis is placed on great lower cost alternatives. And so it looks like everyone should be riding those bikes when you don't have to. You can be cool and fast and comfortable and safe and everything else, but for a lot less money.
Yeah, I think the problem is that for newcomers to the sport, it can be such a minefield to figure out what you need. Do you know what I mean? If you're looking at secondhand stuff on Facebook Marketplace and you've just got no idea what you're looking at. I mean, I find something similar with cars. I hate looking for, I never bought a new car, but for secondhand ones, I've got no idea what I'm looking at, whether it's going to go wrong in a fortnight or last me for a few years. So that's why I've still got the car I bought 10 years ago, because I know that one and it works for me. Yes, it needs some money spent on it every now and again at this point, but still, I'm just confused by the whole car market. And I think probably a lot of people find themselves in that situation where they just don't know enough to take the plunge and buy a secondhand bike.
Maybe there's like a room in the market for being like a bike consultant, and you could like charge a bit of money to basically trawl through Facebook Marketplace and go and buy bikes for other people.
You're thinking of making some money off your work, are you?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, go on, chuck me a tenner and I'll find you a bike.
You know what we need to do actually, Si, is make sure that we screen grab and screen record these in case they're gone by the time we come to edit this video for tomorrow.
That's a great point, actually. All right. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we're really interested to know what you all think about this at home. So are we barking up the wrong tree here by suggesting that actually you can get cycling on great products for less money than they used to? Or is it actually that is the case? And are big expensive items just all about showing off? Get involved in the comment section down below. Really, really interested to know what you think.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that there is a new marginal gain in town.
Now, the good news is that it involves being in a hot tub, Si. The bad news is that you have to ride your bike in said hot tub.
Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But apparently this is true. We saw it in an article on Velo by Zach Nett, who spotted a study entitled Training in Hot Water Immersion Improved Exercise Performance in Hot and Humid Conditions in Recreational Athletes, a Randomised Controlled Trial.
Yeah, it's a catchy title, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it was in the European Journal of Applied Physiology, and it came out last year, and the results were quite significant. So two groups of recreational riders performed 10 sessions of 1 hour per session. One group submerged in 35 degree water, the other in 25 degrees.
I mean, I can't help but chuckle at the thought of a group submerged underwater.
Well, I think it's up to sort of a hip, just above hip.
So hot legs.
Yeah.
Hot legs, okay. Those that trained in the hot water saw their 30-minute power in hot conditions improve by 27 watts. Now, that was more than twice the gains seen in the control group. The author of the study did caveat the results, didn't they, though, by saying that individual responses varied considerably from 40-watt improvements to none at all.
Exactly. Still, with the improvements that some people in the study saw, you would imagine there are going to be riders out there trying this new protocol somehow. I mean, I'm not sure how you would go about it, Si, but I don't have a bath at home that is deep enough to ride my bike in, nor do I really have a bike or a trainer that I would like to submerge in water.
No. And I think people often get a bit squeamish and get the ick about going in public hot tubs, don't they? Given what might also
in case
be
somebody's been in it with a bike.
Well, I mean, I think normally it'd be other things, but yeah, I mean, it'd be particularly bad if you got in a public hot tub and found that there was like traces of oils.
Yeah, that guy doesn't wax his chain. Just old, it's got WD-40 in it.
Worse than buying secondhand cycling shorts.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, you've got a time trial coming out though against Alex Payton, haven't you? So it might be worth considering this new training method, Si. You better get on it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's probably the ultimate example of making improvements while staying clean.
Oh, but oh, I love your work, Si. Great stuff.
Yeah. Right. Moving on. Cycling media has been in a bit of a frenzy in the last week, hasn't it? Since Road CC stumbled upon a new Shimano patent, it appears that Shimano have come up with a solution to a problem that we didn't know we had, which is tying shoelaces or twisting our own boa dars.
Well, You are younger than me, so I don't forget that.
Considerably, yeah.
So I suppose you're still able to bend down no problem to do your boa dives. I've got to sit down and get Lorraine to do it for me before she then puts my helmet wing mirror on for me as well.
I mean, I suspect you're taking the piss, but I also think you might be being serious.
Not far off.
Yeah, anyway, you will still have to bend down for these new shoes because there's no remote control from the pictures
on
the show. Well, it seems like it's a button on the side of your shoe that fastens and loosens it.
Oh, I assumed it was a remote control. You're going to be able to put a button on your bars to sort of tighten and loosen for a sprint or something.
Well, I mean, we don't know the details. Perhaps you can pair it up with your DI2 and use one of the hidden DI2 buttons to tighten your shoes up. But certainly at the minute, it doesn't look like it's got a remote.
Well, remote or button on the shoe, it is going to add to the list of excuses, Si, isn't it? Sorry I'm late, guys, but I forgot to charge my shoes.
Yeah, or you can't turn up on time because your foot is swimming around in it because you couldn't tighten it up.
You'd be fine, I think. There we go.
It's my ankles down, not my feet. Anyway, yeah.
I guess people could just use string to keep them in place, but anyway.
Well, I mean, we get that regularly on Hack or Bodge, don't we? So, yeah.
Right, back to current tech.
When we talk about string keeping them in place, we're not talking about laces.
No, not, because I'm assuming that this is not, it's not magically tying laces up for you, it's just tightening the boa dials electronically.
All right,
let's
fair,
get back to current tech.
Okay.
Ollie and Alex actually took a trip to London late last week to check out the reopened and refurbished Pinarello store, which is located in Regent Street. Their verdict is that it's probably one of the most high-end bike shops in the entire world.
Yeah, a dedicated space there for My Way, which is Pinarello's custom paint job. Separate areas also for Q36.5 clothing and Partington wheels. And as you'd expect, some very bling bikes on display. A little bit like walking into a Lamborghini showroom,
yeah,
I would imagine. Now, if you haven't already, check out our Instagram page or actually YouTube Shorts for a closer look.
There were some bling bikes, weren't there, as
yeah,
you said. Now, Si, which cycling brand do you think most likes to throw lawsuits around?
Is this a trick question? Presumably I need to be quite careful how I answer this so I don't get sued for libel.
It is a risk, Si. Yes, you're right.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm taking one for the team here. I think Specialized, historically. Do you remember when they sued a bike shop that was called Roubaix for infringing? Yeah. Currently, I think it's probably SRAM.
Do you? Yeah. Well, I couldn't possibly comment on this one, so I'm afraid.
Great. Thanks, mate. Yeah.
But tellingly, SRAM have just dropped their lawsuit against Princeton Wheels for that wavy wheel profile design.
Yeah, so Princeton, you remember, won the original lawsuit. SRAM was suing them for patent infringement. Presumably Shimano will be gearing up for suing people with self-tightening shoes.
Yeah.
But SRAM have just now dropped their appeal against that initial verdict.
They have indeed.
Yeah.
And remember how SRAM also took the UCI to court to stop a trial to make road cycling safer, potentially, by restricting gear ratios last year. Well, according to Cycling News, the UCI are now fighting back and are considering continuing the legal battle against SRAM.
Yeah. I mean, that is a lot of fuss over a 10-tooth sprocket, isn't it?
I wonder why cycling's getting more expensive, Si.
It's
a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Well, I've got a bit of an idea. Lawyers? Sort of charging by the hour?
Might be onto something there, yeah. Right, on some pro cycling news now. And Jonas Vingegaard of Visma Lease-A-Bike, who didn't race the UAE Tour last week because of a training crash and subsequent illness, has added a new race to his calendar, the upcoming Paris-Nice.
Ooh, that's exciting, isn't it? Because it's a race he's yet to win.
Yep.
He finished third in 2023, but then withdrew through injury last year. And he'll be up against quite a tasty field, won't he? João Almeida, Juan Ayuso and Oscar Onley, amongst others.
Yeah, they're all on the provisional start. There's more to be added, I'm sure. So an exciting prospect ahead. Just about 2 weeks away, I think.
Ooh.
Strada Bianca is just over 2 weeks away as well. Or less, under 2 weeks. Right, does feel like the season getting in full swing now at this point.
Does indeed.
There were five races, incidentally, going on last weekend, all at the same time.
I couldn't keep up.
Was impossible virtually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But this coming weekend, it's opening weekend, isn't it? With Omloop on Saturday for men and women, and then Kuurne just for the men on Sunday.
Yeah. Right, a couple of bits of news from New York now. Firstly, the New York Cycling Club are suing the city, someone else, a bit litigation happy. But apparently because New York City have imposed a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit in Central Park. So the club is saying that the law is designed for motorised vehicles and are trying to wrongly apply it to bikes.
It's going to affect people's training, apparently.
Not yours, though, happily.
No, I'd be fine. And then secondly, in New York, cycling across the city's four main East River bridges has reached an all-time high, which is great news. An average of 29,000 daily trips at this point.
Wow, that is a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of bike trips. Yeah, and a 30% increase in the last 10 years, which is super cool. It's the Brooklyn Bridge, apparently, that's seen the biggest change. Do you think that's because Brooklyn's really cool? So cool people ride bikes.
Sounds cool, doesn't it?
I think so. That's seen the biggest change, doubling the number of trips by bike in just 5 years. Now, there is still plenty of work to be done in New York in terms of cycling, so we hear, but it definitely seems like it is going in the right direction.
Yeah, really good.
Just quickly about bike path speed limits. I was thinking this very thing as I was commuting to work this morning on my Canyon Air Road, and I mean, it is literally like 2K an hour faster than the bike that I was riding just before it. And I was thinking to myself, like, it would be antisocial of me to be using the bike path for training because it would literally be so fast. And I thought, actually, what I could do is ride a mountain bike to work, stick a power meter on that, and then I'd get my training in whilst at a much lower speed.
Mm. It's taken you this many years to think about that, is it?
Well, not really. I just have never been bothered. But now I've got this time trial with Alex coming up, and I was thinking, because I can't do my over-unders because I'd be going too fast. So I thought, well, I could just do it on a mountain bike with the brakes on.
Get back to us next week about whether you've chosen a mountain bike or submersion in hot water.
Both.
Be interested to find out which you choose.
I need the training.
Moving on now to some good news for middle-aged men in Lycra, which includes both of us, I can safely say at this point, Si. So I saw this article in The Times, which looked at research that shows that cycling can effectively pause your ageing clock to a degree.
Yep. I feel slightly aggrieved at being put in this category with you, Dan. But anyway, looking at key parameters such as bone density, muscle mass and immune system, this study showed that amateur cyclists in their 70s, so that's definitely not us, are in a similar place to non-cyclists decades younger. But then it also found that cycling can preserve the thymus, which is an organ. Can you remember this from your biology GCSE?
No, I read it earlier. I've forgotten. What is it?
It's an organ responsible for T-cell production.
Ah, yes, that's it. And as such, the cyclists studied showed levels of testosterone that remained high and stable, I think the paper said, compared with men much younger than them.
Yeah. So I bet you're glad you're getting back into it, Dan.
I am indeed, yeah. It's probably for the best, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, how was the UAE tour, by the way?
Good. There were some highs and there were some lows, I would say.
Really? Yeah. Presumably the highs were... Well, your podium finish in a UCI event, not the UAE Tour, we should say.
No, that was a high, well guessed, Si.
Yeah, and the low?
Well, so I did a hot lap on the time trial circuit that the pros were going to be using for their stage in the UAE Tour later on that day. I did a practice lap, and then I really went for it.
Okay.
So far, so good, I was thinking. But then two-thirds of the way around my hot lap,
right,
I got overtaken by Remco Evenepoel.
Well, there's no shame in that, Dan, is it? I mean, he's world and Olympic time trial champion.
Yeah, but he wasn't racing. So I was going flat out, and he was just on his practice lap cruising around. I mean, he even had a bottle in his back pocket. No, so no skin suit, no aero helmet, bottle in his back pocket. And there I was, riding around as fast as I could with knee-high socks on for aero benefits.
Serious?
Yep.
As fast as you could?
It was, genuinely.
And presumably slipstreaming behind the camera motorbike?
Well, I could. Annoyingly, they went behind me at a point so that they could get me and the skyline in shot.
Yeah, but not when Remco came past.
No. I was behind them at that point.
I cannot wait to see this video.
It should be out soon, hopefully. Yeah. Anyway, I did get loads of tech whilst I was over there, and two of those videos have already come out on GCN Tech, so check them out if you haven't done so already. Right, one new giveaway announcement to come shortly, but first of all, we can reveal the winner of our last one.
Yeah, so this was to win a Vision Metron 60 handlebar. So huge congratulations to Ruben Ostein.
Well done.
Congratulations to you,
Ruben.
Yeah, it's a good prize.
If we haven't already been in touch with Ruben, then we will be soon. Right then, on to our next giveaway, which comes courtesy of Core. So we've got three of their Core 2 thermal sensors and heat suits to give away.
Okay, so this is like the OG of heat training, isn't it? Sod getting in a hot tub. This is actually how you do it. As championed by both Ollie and Alex, both of whom are into their heat training, so this is your opportunity to realise the same gains. Or do some clothing testing, like I did.
This particular giveaway is open to all of you, wherever you live around the world. All you need to do is click on the link in the description below. That will take you through to a page that will give you all the details on how you enter. You then have until Friday the 6th of March at 10 a.m. GMT to do so.
Good luck, folks.
Next up, hack /bodge of the week. I think we've got five for you this week. First up, this one from Galen K, who put UCI handlebar legaliser. My handlebars were too narrow, as a 36cm centre-to-centre measures a little undersized, but some 3cm sections of 5mm brake housing taped to the bar just add 1cm total to make the handlebar legal.
I mean, this is borderline genius, but does it actually count? I mean, are the UCI going to be fooled by slightly wider drops?
Well, do you think they're going to unravel the grip tape to reveal?
Well, I mean, you could see quite clearly if the bar tape was bulging. Could you not? I don't know. Maybe they just don't care enough. But I mean, if it works, genuinely genius. Although, if it adds 5mm on each side, whilst that adds
the centimetre.
Presumably, if it's centre to centre, it wouldn't pull it out by 5mm.
Well, that's what I said, but Alex Payton, I didn't check this, said it is measured edge to edge.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, centre to centre. Well, the centre of them would look a bit further out.
A little bit, but it wouldn't be moved by 5mm, would it?
We'd have to do more.
We'd have to do some maths to work out.
I mean, we spent far too much time on Facebook Marketplace and not enough time researching UCI rules.
Basically, yeah. So are we saying hack, though? In theory...
I like the ingenuity of it, even if it doesn't work.
Yeah, and if it literally does foil the UCI rules, then I'll also be mildly amused, even though I'm here for those rules.
Are you? Okay.
Well, not those ones specifically, but generally. Yeah. I think the rules are there for a reason, right? Okay, so tentative hack, that one. Yep. This one was sent in by J! As in E acute, M. Don't know what that is then. Roadies got their gravel sooner than anticipated, eager to explore more remote routes and in search of a bit more comfort while bikepacking. My girlfriend and I, typical roadies, finally ordered two Orbea Terra gravel bikes in late December. Since we chose custom colours, we were told delivery would be in March. No problem. We starting our backcountry ski season and didn't have any gravel plans till April. However, first world problems, the bikes arrived in early Feb and I hadn't cleared any space to store them. So I improvised using a retired guitar stand and elastic luggage strap. I found a way to assemble a two bike stand. It works perfectly. I mean, that is a very elaborate but quite pleasing strategy. I mean, I would have leant them up against a wall carefully, probably, wouldn't you?
That's because you get them for free, Si.
Well, I think you can lean a bike against a wall and not can, do maybe. Like, you know, grave damage. Anyway, nice looking bikes.
It doesn't look as good as this hack, I'm going to say, guitar stand /bike stand.
I've got that colour for my Terra Race, the one I made into my fat road bike.
Have you?
Yeah, it's well good.
Yep.
Good choice.
Are you saying hack as well?
I think it looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I mean, I can't work it out personally, but anyway.
Apparently getting proper wall hooks, but I think that actually, that guitar stand will suffice.
Personally. Yeah.
Next up, this one from Hulk Hogan, not the real one, I presume. SRAM front mech roadside hack. No idea what happened to the pin, but somehow lost, and as a result, I was stuck in the small ring. One brake pad retaining pin to the rescue. Perfect fit with zero slack and big ring restored. Very pleased with myself.
I mean, that is phenomenal.
Do you want to take the pin out of your brake, though?
Yeah, but, I mean, your pads aren't really going anywhere, are they?
I don't know.
And as long as it's only one pin you've taken out, you'll always have the other brake.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd probably take it out of the back wheel, back brake.
Yeah, OK.
I'd prioritise my big ring over a back brake any day of the week. Yeah.
Yeah, you're still young.
Fighting talk, yeah. Yeah. No, that's a hack.
All right, I'm going to go bodge. I'd keep my brakes, both of them.
Would you?
Yeah.
But you don't lose the brake. The pads are still there.
But what if the pads come out? I mean, the pin's there for a reason.
Yeah, it's like an emergency, though, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be fine.
I'll let people in the comment section sway me either way.
Yeah, OK. Right then, Slick Cycler. Sounds pretty cool. I have to take a wheel off my gravel bike to get it into my car. To ensure the brakes don't get pulled when the wheel is off, I made this guard from a piece of cardboard and a reusable zip tie. Handily, they've clarified what a reusable zip tie is, Dan. And it's a zip tie that you can remove and reuse without cutting. Anyway, simply slide the cardboard between the brake pads and use the reusable zip tie to secure it in place so it cannot fall out. I don't know if this violates Sy's rule about zip ties, since it is a reusable zip tie. If it does, I challenge Sy to suggest something better. A rubber band or a piece of string or a Velcro strap would not work as well.
Slick cycler, I'm worried that you've made Sy say zip tie so many times in such a short period of time that he's automatically going to say bodge despite them being reusable.
Well, no, I mean, reusable zip ties are excellent, Dan.
We have a lot of them in our Topic bike boxes, don't we?
We do, yeah, they so I'm here handy. For them. In terms of getting a better thing, so I don't know about for your specific brakes, brake calipers, but those ones that you get with SRAM and Shimano for bleeding brakes, you know, the like bleed block things.
Yeah.
I mean, those are much neater, nicer, right. And they just sort of clip in place. So presumably there is one for your Tektros. I don't know. Yeah, do you know the ones I mean?
I do know the ones you mean, yeah. And I would have thought they go between different brands, I would have thought. I mean, a disc brake rotor is about the same size across the board.
Well, they've got the little clippy bit in a different place, haven't they? So that one's clip neatly into SRAM and the other clip neatly into Shimano.
Well, it's going to go in as neatly as a bit of cardboard, surely.
Well, yeah, no need for a zip tie. I don't want to be that guy, but I think that might be a bodge.
For someone that doesn't want to be that guy, you're that guy quite often,
I am.
Right, I'll go bodge as well then, just to be that guy with you. Right, this one comes in from Tim in Australia. G'day.
G'day, Tim.
That's how we started. That wasn't me just taking a minute. Using pool noodles on trainer handlebars for comfort and to flare the towel at the down tube as sweat catcher. Cheap and light. Electrical tape, not zip ties, to keep it in place and together. Might need some new tape. It's been a couple of years since the first installation. Oh. Love the show. Cheers. Tim. Look at the state of that.
Oh, my day.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy.
Do you know what, right? Here's a random story. I once broke a bone in my hand in a mountain bike World Cup.
Yep.
And anyway, I then couldn't go, like, training properly for, 4 weeks, I think? So I rigged up basically a similar setup on my mountain bike, right. And I went training on the road with pipe lagging all over one side of the handlebar so I could hold on vaguely without actually holding on with my hand. And do you know what, right? I had the best end of season I've ever had. So potentially, Tim, this is actually a performance enhancer. It might have had something to do with like a massive block of endurance training in July when everyone else was racing, but work for me, so I'm going to say hack.
You're saying hack for that. I'm saying massive bodge. Look at the state of it.
I know, and I don't understand what the thing on the down tube is, other than presumably hitting your knees.
Oh, the extra bit. It's to flare
towel
the towel.
Yeah, that's pretty rank,
isn't it? Right. If you'd like to get involved in the show for next week, all you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Right then, it's time now for Caption Competition, which is that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you have to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. We will, of course, start with the results from last week, where the photo was this one of Dan on his podium.
Yeah.
In third place.
Lots of comments about AI I saw under the show last week for this particular photo, but yes. There was a video. I guess AI can manipulate videos as well, but
absolutely.
I genuinely wasn't the podium. Anyway,
AI slop, it's called.
Our winner this week is at @rough_spirits. You put caption contest, coming in third place, save you two extra steps.
Good point, that. Important
only one, actually, because the person that won it did invite the rest of us, the other two, onto the top step of the podium for the photos.
Oh, no.
With all of the photographers that were there.
I was saying, like, at your age, actually, that's quite a good thing to not have to go up two extra steps.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
Yeah, not far off a bungalow, must have been.
Did you cramp as you were going up to the top step?
Almost, yeah. Couldn't get down. Right, well done, Rough Spirits. Get in touch with us on Facebook with your address and we'll get a Camelback water bottle to you. This week's photo comes from the Jebel Hafit climb at the UAE Tour.
What's going on there?
Well, this is Ilan Van Wilder crashing. I actually didn't see this point of the stage, but Sudal Quickstep rider on the deck there. I will get you started. You can't park there, mate.
Oh, there's your mate Remco as well.
Yeah, looking good, isn't he? But going backwards.
Looking good, not very fast. Apart from on his time trial bike where he was like.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
Smoking,
scenes.
Yeah, even on his practice lap.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, get involved, see whether or not you can beat Dan's caption there. And we will pick a winner, of course, this time next week.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN this week, but first up, we picked out a load of our favourite comments from last week's video.
Motor doping in particular. We promised you we'd get involved.
Yeah, we've got quite a few. But there's a lot of comments under there. Well, there's funnily a lot enough, of views, weren't there?
Yeah.
Anyway, underneath last week's show, George Yasko put, I'm still here, always watch to the end, so count me in as one of the 15.
Okay. Yes!
I think we might be up to 20 now.
No, someone said they counted up, they said 16.
Ah, okay. All right,
16.
Well, let's
people,
get try and get to 20.
We're trusting you guys.
Life goal.
Matthew Thompson said, hang on, so Connor's completed a 12-month project on motor doping and Dan gets a UCI podium in the same week. Coincidence? I mean, he's got a point, hasn't he, Matthew?
Yeah, but there seemed to be quite a few points along those lines. Multiple videos last week.
John Cannings said, Lloydie had a great result recently, just saying.
Well, that was underneath the motor doping is possible video.
Yeah, to which the killer man said, who is Lloydie?
Yeah, that's an extra insult, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, probably not even a joke. Meanwhile, under that same video about motor doping in cycling, barrel-chested cyclist, but don't normally comment, but love this video and format. Sponsoring students to push the boundaries. Excellent work, GCN.
Yeah, Mr. Boggins said, I hope those two young men get the employers they deserve. Those are our two plucky young engineers who devoted a lot of time and brain power to that little project.
Yeah, I thought not only were they great at the job that they were tasked with, but just as people in general, and also to camera.
Yeah. I also
thought, because, you know, we spent 13 years trying to get as good as they already are.
Yeah, but they're also, they were drinking on the job. I thought you'd approve of that. There was one of their shots when they were...
I missed it.
A late night session and there was a pint just...
Was there?
Yeah, there was, yeah. I thought you'd be like, oh,
that's probably when they had their light bulb moment.
Probably, yeah.
Mr. Boggins...
That one.
Rick Paisley, said, Connor has the worst poker face I've ever seen. Lol.
Yes.
And Rick is absolutely right. I mean, I'd love to see Connor playing poker. If you had a pair of aces down, he'd be like that, wouldn't he?
He spent the whole week giggling like a schoolboy about how he was going to have to deceive Matt Holmes. And I was like, you don't have to deceive him, just don't say anything. And he's like, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Anyway, go on then. So having watched that video, Dan, what did it make you think about the prospect of motor doping? And we've got to say historic motor doping because, as Connor said in the video, that one would fall foul of the UCI's X-ray machines that get taken to the biggest races.
As those of you who saw the video will have seen, it took them a year from start to finish to do the video and therefore come up with the concept, bring it to fruition, etc. And that's just two students. So you'd imagine that if there's any big effort from a big company behind it, then it would be possible. But I think, as you've pointed out before, if you're going to do that, you wouldn't then reserve it for one or two riders. You'd want to make it commercial, wouldn't you? And some money from it. Because e-bikes, they sell a lot.
Yeah.
If you've got one that's like that, it's going to sell a lot and make you a lot of money as well. So, I know, it's a difficult one. I can see why there have been the conspiracies of motors being used. And sometimes when you see those videos, you think, well, yeah, it does look a bit suspicious. But I also think that so many people would have to be involved in that by this point, this many years later, someone would have spit in the soup and said, yeah, I was involved in it.
Yeah.
And this is how we did it.
So that's a really good point, isn't it? Because with most forms of like biological doping, the evidence goes, right? Like, so yeah, of course, some like blood and urine samples get frozen and retrospectively tested, and a lot of people get busted that way, right? Mm. But normally, if you, I would think, cheat, and then it's out of your system, isn't it? It's got like a, whatever it is, a half-life. So it's out of your system, whereas if you have cheated with a motor like that, yeah, of course, you could crush the bike and scrap it, but it's much harder, I would have thought, to make sure that that happens. So there'd be this like quite epic trail of evidence, wouldn't there? So there's a much higher risk. And plus, with this bike, the reward is not very much. Like maybe it's the same reward you get for taking EPO or microdosing or whatever, like in the order of 10 to 15 watts. But it's not massive. Mm. What a risk it is to get caught and busted for having a motor on your bike. But the other thing as well, which I don't think Connor went into, but that motor required that you ride at, I think it was over 40 kilometres an hour to work. So it actually wouldn't work up a climb. And Alex also pointed out that there's no torque to the motor, is there? So although at higher speeds it can contribute that amount, there's no evidence to suggest that if you wanted it to work on a climb, that it would. Mm. It just simply isn't that kind of motor.
I guess that's with that specific motor, though.
Yeah.
And really, that video and what they did just showed what is possible with some brains and a bit of time, and other brains might have come up with a different solution that does work on climbs.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. Anyway, yeah, like Dan said, there's loads of comments under that video. If you've not watched it yet, then please do go check it out and let us know your thoughts on it as well.
I really do hope they get a great job off the back of it as well, because they thoroughly deserve it, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
Meanwhile, underneath Sunday's video, it was, can we steal Tadej Pogačar's favourite KOM? Lots of people in the comments saying, I can answer that before watching the video. No, you can't. Yes, you're right, but it was a bit of fun anyway. MartinBM93 put, we have a secret weapon. I was sure it was going to be down on the motor doping bike from yesterday's video.
Nowhere near powerful enough.
No, that would have been a long way off.
Dan's FTP is now up to 240.
Do you know, there's also a few people that I don't believe the first attempt that they could be that bad. And I'll tell you what, not only were we that bad, well, we were so bad that we actually did a second attempt in the same format. Like, in the video, it cut to, like, we went back to the boardroom to discuss a different strategy. We did a second attempt with everyone in front of Feather, and we were a bit better, but not by much. So that's why we had to go back to the drawing board.
Okay. May Con Leonard said, Picnic Post NL rider suffers psychological damage after getting jumped by GCN Avengers squad.
Yeah, did you see the Picnic Post NL rider?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he was caught by Feather on the wheel of another GCN presenter, a bit disgruntled, went straight past, then cracked.
Did he? Yeah, oh, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
Massimo Mipa, I've helped you with result putting video 1.5 times the speed, so your official KM is below 10 minutes. Congratulations.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it?
How kind of you. Right then, what's coming up on the channel this week? On Thursday, you're going to see how 12 weeks of Zwift affect the fitness of Lorraine, who is my wife. We've been doing 2 sessions per week each. Lorraine did a VO2 max test 12 weeks ago. She repeated that last Friday, and you're going to see how she got on there at Bath University.
That explains what the video that Stefan, one of our creators, was sheepishly saying he was having to edit this morning when he said, oh, I'm editing the video of Dan and his wife.
Yeah.
It was that
without
one.
Any context to, no, okay. To the whole company, basically.
That's a relief, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, on Saturday, it's another outing for the super nerds. So me, Ollie and Alex all basically tried to see whether or not the three of us together could beat a pro cyclist riding on their own. Mm. So we didn't have a motor-doped bike, just put it out there, but three of us together, could we do it? Yeah, that'll be Saturday's vid. Watch out.
And on Sunday, well, you'll know that Ollie and Alex were recently over at the Saudi tour. They've done the road ride. They also found some epic gravel riding whilst they were over in Alula. So that video will be coming out for you on Sunday.
Yeah, Alula are hosting the Gravel World Championships in a couple of years, aren't they, I think?
Oh, I think they are as well. Oh, and on another news, one of the guys from the UCI, Peter van den Abela, Van den Abela, that's the one, has confirmed that the World Championships in 2028 in the UAE will be a sprinter's World Championships.
Oh, really?
They're not going to make a big mountain to make it suit Tadej Pogačar.
Okay. That's pretty cool. God, I tell you what, for the 16 of you that have made it to the end, what a banger of a nugget of news to finish on, to think of all those other people that have not found out about the 2028 road championship.
Well, I didn't find out about that through Peter when I was there. I just read it somewhere. So it's not, you know, it's not secret news that I've just revealed.
Yeah, but you just revealed it in the last, the dying moments of what's probably a very long GCN show.
I feel like we should think of something every week for the 15 people, shouldn't we? We'll do better next week.
Like a little Easter egg.
A nugget, yeah.
Oh, a nugget.
Okay, yeah. Stay tuned next week.
For GCN's nugget. See you then.